All right. Welcome in. This is episode number 220. Toilets and Titles. It is Dynasty Fantasy Football Rookie Discussion. We're going to be bringing on the man himself, the Gridiron Scholar, John Laub. He's waiting in the background right now. Me tonight, I'm joined by my guy, Justin Stevens at JustinFF underscore. And we have a man who's been working with Toilets and Titles probably for about 7-8 months now. I don't know if it's been that long. It feels like forever because this man stepped up, and he's been such a big help. And that is Dylan Carlson at Wicked underscore Dynasty on the Twitter. Dylan, what's cooking?
What's up, man? How you doing?
It's good. Living the dream. Justin, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. We're starting into our fifth year on this, and I just found out that you're a Twilight guy. So this has been a great day. This is a good capper to a great day.
Listen, so that you're going to have to be in the Gilded Chat, which I'm sure we're going to discuss, and you'll probably have to be a Patreon member to hear my Twilight story in full detail. But I didn't think I'd be a Twilight fan. There was a time in my life when I had a lot of time on my hands, and I was very bored, and the books were around. And people were talking about them. And I think the movies had just come out, and like all the girls were going crazy about it. I was like, I'll give it a shot. I had read The Hunger Games. I had read Harry Potter. So like I read all these series. I gave it a shot. And you want to hear something funny? This is it. We're gonna end the Twilight discussion after this. But the only reason I kept reading Twilight after the first one is because I don't like confrontation. I don't like conflict. I don't like unended stuff. And these books, this girl just got like kicked in the mouth. Like book after book after book, and I just wanted it to, like, I just wanted some form of resolution, and that's all that kept me going. So that's my piece. But Dylan, we're going to give you some time before we bring on the Gridiron Scholar to talk. So you're the chief content coordinator at Toilets and Titles.
Yeah,
we got a lot going on in our Gilded Chat. We got a lot going on with Patreon, including giveaways, all that good stuff. So I want to give you the floor to kind of tell the audience, you know, what we got going on behind the scenes, and that they can look forward to this offseason.
Yeah, man. So one of the biggest things that we focusing on first and foremost was kind of getting better organization over all of our content. We've got a lot of live shows. We've got articles. We've got stuff going up on the website. We got stuff on Twitter and a lot of independent teams working. And so one of the things that I'm going to be doing is just kind of getting everybody in sync with one another so that we've got good cohesion between all of the different groups. And that'll provide very organized content delivery to our viewers. And then the other thing that we really wanted to focus on was our Patreon members. You know, those guys support us, and we want to make sure that we're giving them the best experience in return for that. And so we've got a lot of stuff that we're going to be kicking off for them. This month, we're doing a Bijan Robinson autographed jersey for our Patreon members. And then next month we're gonna have a big one for the NFL draft. We've got a few different items that we're gonna be giving away. We'll have some announcements on that later. But other than that, man, we just want to make sure that we're delivering, you know, top notch content, NFL and fantasy football stuff to our guys. And I know we've got some MLB stuff coming up too. And we've got a lot of good content that we want to make sure that, you know, is getting out there to people. And so primarily what I'm going to be doing is just trying to make our delivery methods as efficient as possible so that everybody can see the hard work that all the T2T staff is putting in over here.
Hell yeah. And we just pulled up the Bijan Robinson autographed jersey.
Yeah.
Patreon giveaway. So the ways you can enter that, it's all listed on there. You can find us on the Twitter at Toilets and Titles. Believe you have to be a Patreon member in order to get in there. And then is it per tier, Dylan? How do they get, what are the amount of entries given for this jersey? And then also how can they buy extra entries to go?
Yeah. So we reorganized our Patreon levels into three tiers. Previously we had quite a lot of different tiers in it, a little bit confusing, and there was a lot of overlap between what was offered between them. So we consolidated that into three very organized tiers. You've got, I believe it was, Rookie, MVP, Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Yep.
And so rookie tier is going to get you access to all of our Patreon leagues that we do. I know right now we're doing the IDP Dynasty League, but we've got other leagues that we'll be kicking off throughout the season. And then you'll also get access to Frank and Stank, which, you know, is our flagship here at Toilets to Titles. And then you're going to get an entry to the giveaway. The MVP tier gives you an additional entry to the monthly giveaway, as well as some additional perks and some greater access to our analysts and TTT staff for, you know, trade advice and draft stuff and that kind of things. And you're also going to get the weekly waiver wire delivered to you via Patreon during the season. And then the Hall of Fame level is for the very dedicated guys
and girls
that want free access to some of our leagues. So with the Hall of Fame, you get another jersey giveaway entry, and then you'll also get a free Frankenstank entry. And I'm also going to be doing a 32 league, 12 team per league tournament. So that's 384 teams, $15 buy-in, winner gets $1,000. And so you'll get a free entry into that tournament as well with the Hall of Fame Patreon.
Love it, man. We're going to have to be talking a lot about that league. I don't know when you're going to be filling it by, but if it's not filled by, we'll talk about that at Canton, because we have a lot going on at Canton. So, man, I greatly appreciate that. I don't know if I'm allowed to yet, but here's a little teaser of what might be given away. Caleb Williams signed Funko Pop.
Nice.
In hand during the draft. Yeah, during the live stream of the NFL draft. I will tell you this. There is more than one item being given away, and this might not be the best item we are giving away during the live draft. So I think April 2nd or April 3rd episode, I'm not sure. It's the first Tuesday of April, we'll be giving away the Bijan Robinson. We'll be putting, you know how, if you've been watching the show for a while, you know how it goes. Justin puts all the names in a wheel. If you want to buy additional entries, reach out to us, toiletstitles@gmail.com. We'll give you our PayPal info. You can buy additional entries, and we'll do that giveaway. And then during the NFL draft live stream, we'll actually, so it's the same deal, Patreon members, same stuff for the Bijan, and then for next month or whatever, we'll announce it early April, but it's some good gear. So Dylan, man, we really appreciate you coming on. You have anything left to say before we let you go and we bring John on?
Yeah. So just real quick, I want everybody to know that you get your free entries to the giveaways every month with the Patreon membership. But people can purchase additional entries, whether they're a Patreon member or not. So it $5 for one entry, $10 for three, and $20 for 10 entries. And you can either do that through PayPal, like you said, or when we're doing these live shows, people I know sometimes will donate directly through our live streams. So if you guys donate while we're on live, you'll get the equivalent number of entries as well.
Yeah, so just put in the super chat or whatever the donation is. Hey, this is a donation. Please put this towards the Bijan Robinson giveaway. Yep. And me and Justin are going to have to come up with a good format to track the additional entries. But, man, we appreciate everything you're doing. And we know, like, we have a lot going on. We're all going in, like, 50 different directions. And we need some glue to help hold this thing together, man. And you've absolutely been that glue for the past few weeks. So I appreciate that.
Yes, sir. Doing what I can for you guys and for all of our listeners.
All right, man. We'll catch you later, man. Take care. Thanks.
See ya.
Bye.
Thanks, Dylan.
All right. And now, the moment you've all been waiting for, the Gridiron Scholar himself. We all know it's a blast whenever John comes on T2T. This might be his 30th, 40th appearance. I don't know. I stopped counting after 15. But John, at Gridiron Scholar, 91 on the Twitters with playerprofiler.com right now. So shout out to that. Congratulations. CFF and NFL Fantasy Football content creator, FSWA member, and co-host of the Rookie Big Board, where I learned a lot about Michael Wilson last year. So I appreciate John for educating me on Michael Wilson before the Senior Bowl. John, how are we doing this evening?
I'm doing great. Absolute favorite time of the year. UConn basketball is looking good. We have the NFL draft coming up. Baseball's coming up. It was a glorious day in Connecticut. It was like 55 or 60 degrees. So, I mean, I couldn't be happier. Now I'm with Justin and Coach. Yes. What can I complain about in life?
Amen. Amen, man. It's supposed to be 68 in New York tomorrow. That's like in March.
That's crazy for March.
Yeah, absolutely absurd. But John, we're looking forward to talking to you today. We want to catch up with you a little bit on last year's class, kind of how that panned out. We're going to talk about this year, but it's all Dynasty rookies tonight. Before we get into that, make sure to check out toiletstitles.com. We're doing, also check out our Gilded chat. If you're listening at home, we have a community chat. It's free. It's on the Gilded server, which is like Discord. We're talking NFL draft, fantasy football, year-round NFL, and we're doing weekly mock drafts. So we have people in the community taking teams. They're claiming teams. Hey, I want to pick for Denver. I want to pick for Dallas. And then we put them on the dock, and when it's their turn to pick, we let them know. And it's been a lot of fun. We also got IDP rankings, and as you know, our Frankenstein League. I think we have like 40 spots out of 144 to fill. So you can go to toiletstotitles.com, click the Frankenstein tab to sign up. You can email us toiletstotitles@gmail.com to sign up, or you can just comment below or reach out to us on Gilded. We want to see you and all of those things. So John, man, last year, who are some players you planted your flag on going into, you know, before the NFL draft, going into their rookie season? I want to hear some players you planted your flag on and kind of how they panned out in year one and what the outlook is going forward.
I'm going to give you one player each position, and I'm going to start. It might seem obvious, but the way the draft panned out, it didn't turn out to be obvious. My flag plant from, I'm thinking about Thanksgiving of 2022, was CJ Stroud at quarterback. I never wavered. I never changed my perspective. I felt he was the best quarterback prospect in the NFL. Obviously, the Panthers disagreed with me and made a massive mistake selecting Bryce Young. I thought that was a cataclysmic error. Now he still gets another chance, so we'll see what happens. The whole universe had moved Bryce Young ahead because the Panthers were taking him. I never budged. People thought I was crazy. I said I was very worried about his size. I was worried about pocket manipulation. He didn't give you anything with his legs. So there was a lot of concerns, I think, that were overlooked with Young. And once the Panthers made the choice, people just kind of went in lockstep. Well, the Panthers know what they're doing. Did they? Do they really? Fired their coach. They were awful. I'm not sure. I liked Anthony Richardson. I had him at third, but I never wavered. I never put him ahead of CJ Stroud. You have to look at floor and ceiling. So I always said the ceiling might be higher with Richardson, but the floor is so much greater with Richardson with such little game experience at the college level. CJ Stroud, I had seen more of him. And, you know, it was so funny what I always said time and time again, what I loved about C.J. Stroud on film. He was the most accurate passer I had seen in college in years. He's unfreaking believable, dude. And you saw it with the Texans. He puts that ball in a dime. He completed 69% of his passes at Ohio State. Yes, I understood he had incredible playmakers, but he also made them incredible. It's a two-way street sometimes. CJ Stroud is the real deal. I never wavered on that for 6 months. I got CJ Stroud in two dynasty leagues. He fell to pick number 5. People were taking Superflex, Bryce Young over him, Anthony Richardson over him. They were looking at running backs or other positions, and Stroud fell. He didn't fall as much as Justin Herbert. Remember the massive cataclysmic fall that Justin Herbert took. But C.J. Stroud fell if you were in the right draft class and people were either confident in quarterback or they didn't believe in him because it was the Texans and the Texans were allegedly bad. So I never wavered on that. At running back, I think this is incredibly important to be able to always acquire new data points, obtain new knowledge, and be willing to change your perspective. I'm not going to talk about Bijan. Everyone at Bijan. Before the draft, I was a little lower on Devin Achane. I was concerned about his size, and I'm a sizist. I'm willing to negotiate more as I move forward and the league changes. So I'm a little bit more comfortable with a little smaller running back than I was like 6 years ago. I was very worried at the 188, 5'10", 188. That's undersized. I'm open-minded, and I want to know the data. Once the Miami Dolphins took him, and let me make sure I get the round of the pick. Third round, pick 21. I was all in, dudes. Devin Achane moved up into my top 10 dynasty players. He moved from number 10 pre-draft running back to my number 10 post-draft player overall. He was perfect for the Miami Dolphin running game, the wide zone. I didn't care about the depth chart with Raheem Mostert. Now, Mostert turned out to have an incredible year for McDaniels. Can't complain. I had him. He was cheap in Dynasty. Cost me nothing. Redraft, he was available. But when Achane got his chance, he was absolutely unbelievable. Now, one of my concerns, which did come true, he took that big hit, remember, against the Buffalo Bills, and he missed like six games or something like that. I do think he's a rotational back who's uber efficient. You're going to get uber efficiency with Achane. But you're going to have to be, if you're a volume chaser, which most of us are in fantasy, you're never going to be comfortable with Achane. You have to be all right, 12 carries, four receptions, and let the chips fall where they may as far as yardage and end zone. The key is, can he stay healthy? I'm hoping that he's hitting the weight room. I'm hoping that he's learning how to avoid as many big hits as possible, right? I mean, I do believe the longer I've watched NFL, there's a skill to avoiding the big hit. And some play, like, watch Barry Sanders. You ever see Barry Sanders get leveled? Nope. He was just so good at avoiding that big hit. If Achane can avoid that, and the Dolphins use him uber efficiently, I think the sky's the limit. I have him in Dynasty League because he was basically a late second-round pick, maybe mid-second-round pick, and he was sitting there. I didn't have to take him in the first round. So I do love Devin Achane. But there's no question I believe in him. I'd like to see McDaniels use him a little bit more near the goal line, but I understand why you would run Mostert. Right? I mean, why not just get your veteran older back, let him get beat up? And he's good. I mean, Mostert's good near the end zone, but Achane's the home run here. I think he's dynamic. Now,
well, I want to mention a running back. So I wasn't as high on Stroud as you were. I think I was a little bit higher on Achane prior to the process because I was trading up into the 10 to 11 range rookie draft just to get him. Because I was so sold on him. I wanted, you know, I'm kind of like, if I have a guy, I'm going to go get him. But there was a player, Israel Abanaconda. I was so high on him, man. I was so upset. I was so upset to see him go to the Jets. I wanted him in Dallas so bad. Like, you know, Pollard, one and done, you let him go. When they franchised Schultz, they drafted Jake Ferguson. Let Schultz go. Ferguson takes over. Good. Now, with Pollard, they screwed the pooch last year when they didn't draft a running back. That was the guy. Israel Abanaconda was the guy. And then he goes to running back purgatory. I mean, sitting behind Bree, sitting behind Dalvin Cook. Now, Dalvin Cook's gone. You know what I mean? But, like, just a tough situation, man. And I really liked Israel Abanaconda. I'm kind of upset with the landing spot.
Oh, hey, the landing spot, we haven't really even seen him, right? However, remember, what I liked about him, his age. He was only 20 last year. So we're still looking at a 21-year-old running back. He's super explosive. There's no question about that. Did he land in the worst spot with a potential Pro Bowler for the next 3 years behind Breece Hall? Absolutely. But I'll say this. I have him on two of my dynasty. I only have three. The management I can't do anymore. I do so many redrafts, so many college football. I managed three. I have Israel Abanaconda on two of them. I'm very happy right now, just holding on. Just holding on. The opportunity will be there someday. Hopefully sooner rather than later. But we know the NFL turned over these running backs. And didn't the Jets trade? Remember, they traded Michael Carter late in the year. Where did Michael Carter end up signing or something?
Arizona.
I don't even remember where he ended up. What?
I think it was Arizona.
I think you're right. Which to me was a good sign that they believe in Abanaconda, right? I think there's hope here. I'm not giving up, but I agree with you, Coach. So let's go to this second wide receiver. And I look back, and I really liked how I ranked the guys. I avoided Quentin Johnson in every draft. I don't have any shares of him. I didn't have him anywhere. I was very low on him. As my teammate on the rookie big board says, I like receivers who can catch the ball. And Quentin Johnson seems to have a problem with actually holding on to the football. But the guy, that's a problem when you're a receiver. The guy, and I'm not going to give you Puka Nacao. Everyone give you Puka. That's too boring. The guy that I'm going to give you that I was popped again like Achan. And here's the lesson. Process is more important than results. I did like Sky Moore. He landed in the right spot in Kansas City. He wasn't ready to take the jump from D5 to the NFL. There's some things we don't know. I'm not at every training camp. Maybe there's truth to the rumors. He doesn't know the playbook or does some mistakes, right? But when the Chiefs took Rashid Rice and they took him at the second round with pick 24, he moved up with Achan. I got him in all three of my dynasty leagues. I had him in redraft leagues. Rashid Rice landing with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes was a no-brainer. So what you have to do is you have to trust your process. My process is the Chiefs are a good landing spot. The Sky Moore results do not change the value of the Chiefs as a wide receiver position hold in Dynasty. But people got afraid of Sky Moore analysis. I have Sky Moore and Rashid Rice on the same team, right? I mean, like, I'm still holding on to Sky Moore. I'm not ready. I should dump him probably, but no one's going to give you anything. And it's like you're sitting with the mind. You're like, man, do I just want to cut him? Because you know someone will pick him up, right? Someone is going to pick him up. So you just sit dead roster spot. We all have it in Dynasty. But I redrafted Rashid Rice. And you know what? He exceeded my expectations. I loved him at SMU. Wasn't sure that the traits would always, again, when you go from the G5 to the NFL, that's a big jump. But I'll say this. If you watch the tape and the film of Rashid Rice, the Chiefs used him exactly how he excels. Give Andy Reid credit. He studied the film. He knows what Rashid Rice is good at. And he literally does that. It was funny. One guy I saw a post on Twitter like Rashid Rice with the long crossing pattern catches it, motors upfield. I'm like, oh, man, I saw that on film at SMU so often. You know how they take two players in the 40-yard dash and they overlap them and you see them running? I literally, if I had the skills, I would love to take Rashid Rice to SMU, get a clip on the 12-yard crossing, and then have him catch it and go upfield. And literally, that he did that with Kansas City.
And a third player. And Juju Smith-Schuster doing it. Because that's the role they filled him in. They, like, this is, you know, Andy Reid, he's a great coach. The Chiefs are doing a great job. They let a guy go, and they felt like they fill in perfectly. Rashid Rice, he's more athletic. You know, Juju's a gamer. I think you look at what he did at the combine, you look what he actually puts on tape. I feel like he's a better athlete on the field than he is off the field. But Rashid Rice,
he's a better football player than athlete.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Right. But they're similar, like, you know, they're not like Kansas City has a type, right? That gadget guy. Like, they're looking at tons of gadget guys already. Rice isn't that. Rice is legitimate. You know, he's a guy who does a lot of damage over the middle of the field, you know, especially when you got Travis Kelce taking the attention from the safety and like it opens things up. So yeah, I love what they did bringing him in, and I'm with you. And he did so well. I remember at the Senior Bowl that he shut it down. He shut it down. Like, you know, him and Nacua shut it down. Like, Nacua shut it down after day one, but Rice shut it down. Yeah. I think after like day two or day three, cause he knew he crushed it. So I'm with you, man. He had great film and came in and crushed it with the Chiefs.
And the other one I'm very happy on, I actually had Jaden Reed ranked ahead of Rashid Rice. I had Jaden Reed at number 9, and in the post-draft, because that depth chart was packed at Green Bay, but I had Jaden Reed in the top 24, and Reed came through in spades. And they both made me a lot of money in DFS last year because they were both really, really good. But you look back, man, If Marvin Mims hits, which is going to be interesting now because now losing Jerry Jeudy, Marvin Mims is in a real interesting spot. Last year's draft class is ridiculous, dudes. Last year's draft class is ridiculous good. But that's another story for another day. Tight end. I'm not going to give you Michael Meyer or Dalton Kincaid because those were consensus pre-draft top two. People like the landing spots. The guy, and this goes back to Devin Achane. I like Laporta before. I had him at number four. I thought he was very interesting. I do believe in the Iowa pipeline. You can say what you want, but culture matters. Coaching staffs matter. Systems matter. But, man, when Laporta landed with the Detroit Lions, dude, and you looked at the depth chart and Jameson Williams wasn't 100% healthy early. They have nice parts behind Amon-Ra St. Brown. But, man, when you started looking at the depth chart and target potential, and then you read the quotes from the coaches, Detroit's pretty honest. You know what I like about Detroit as far as a fantasy fan? Their coaching staff is pretty honest. They're no Bill Belichickians out there. They pretty much tell you what they think. And that's what we want, right? We don't like the Shanahanigans. We don't like the Belichickians. Just tell us what we need to know. They were piping up. When they had that rookie, remember, they have the rookie camp. Man, you started reading reports out of Detroit newspapers and Detroit beat writers. I had Sam Laporta in my top 12. In my dynasty and top 12 and redraft very high, man. And I did not expect him to go out and get 1,000 yards, please. If anyone told you that, I mean, it only been done twice, right? Mike Ditka and Kyle Pitts. So I'm not going to bank on two times in 100-year history of the NFL that Laporta was going to do it.
that 1,000 yards, it don't count no more. You know, that additional game.
Right. It's not what it used to be.
Yeah, right.
I would argue that Mike Ditka's rookie season is the greatest by a tight end in NFL history. 1963, yeah. Guys, look at the numbers of passing yards and what Ditka did in a 14-game season.
Yeah, it's not even – it's apples to oranges.
Absurd.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right about that. It's just a totally different game. So his is still the greatest season, but he still had a very good season, yeah. Laporta.
I love everything you're saying about him. Go ahead.
I mean, he was basically my second tight end. I'm not going to tell you. I was getting guys like Cole Kmet. I was drafting like, you know, veteran tight end who have some upside. And then I was drafting Laporta in round 15. By the end of the year, Laporta's my starter.
Yeah.
Like it was, you know, I mean, I can't even tell you. It's not like I'm going to sit here and tell people, oh, yeah, I have Laporta, etch him in. I was drafting him as a sixth tight end. No, that's not true. He was my second tight end because he was dirt cheap. And the opportunity was there if you looked at the depth chart. Because, I mean, who's the other wide receiver? Who's kind of good? He's a
Marvin
good
Jones?
Third receiver. Who's the Detroit receiver? Who's a
Reynolds?
Second on the team.
Oh, Josh Reynolds.
What?
Reynolds.
Yeah, Josh Reynolds. He's a nice player, but he's not a target hog. So right. You knew Laporta could go in there and he smashed.
Yeah, I agree. And all of that, plus you add the fact that statistically, yards after contact, yards after catch, Sam Laporta was the best tight end, like on paper, like out of all the tight ends who were draft eligible, you knew once he had the ball in his hands, he could do more with it than the other guys in the class. Like maybe there were better route runners in the class. Maybe there were better blockers in the class. But his combination of all those things led you to believe, A, he's going to get playing time early. B, he's going to get open. And C, once he catches the football, he's going to be dangerous with it. And that, to me, opportunity, availability, and then what you do after the catch, you know, that's – I'm with you, man. There were flashing lights with Sam Laporta last year.
Oh, and here, I forgot even this. I'm looking again at my model. I forgot how good he was at the combine. That also pre-draft moved him up. I forgot. He ran a 6.91 in the three cone drill, a 4.25 in the 20-yard shuttle, and a 4.59 in the 40-yard. I mean,
ridiculous.
He's uber athletic.
Last year was a good tight end class. Good.
Yeah. I mean, you still got to like Dalton Kincaid. I'm not giving up on Michael Meyer.
Musgrave, Tucker Kraft.
Yeah. Good class. Good class.
Hey, let's move on to this year. Before we move on to this year, Justin, let's talk a little bit about Rival Fantasy.
So Rival Fantasy, as you all know, is the newest evolution in fantasy sports betting and actually just fantasy sports in general. They have mock drafts. They've got season-long best ball drafts now for baseball. So reach out to us if you want to join our Gilded Chat, because we've got a Rival channel in there. But if you go to Rival, if you want to go check them out, you want to go have an opportunity to bet one-on-one head-to-head with your buddy. It is joinrival.com/titletribe. joinrival.com/titletribe. You get in there, check out what they have to offer. The places where you can meet them on their socials as well. But once you decide that you're going to deposit the money to play, as long as you've went through that link, joinrival.com/titletribe, your first $200 will be matched. Your first deposit of up to $200 will be matched. And plus you'll get that additional $25 just for using that link.
Love to hear it. So I don't want to go backwards. I was going to mention a name, Jaxon Smith-Njigba. That's another easy one, but I was so bullish on Jaxon Smith-Njigba. You go back and listen to the episodes of this show, man. I was calling him as rookie of the year all off season, and I just couldn't quit him. I love the talent. And then I love even though you got Lockett and DK Metcalf, I thought that was going to make his job easier. And then I also thought if he shines amongst those two wide receivers, that's only going to increase the odds of his chances of winning rookie of the year. Cause you know, Jaxon Smith-Njigba outshines DK Metcalf, outshines Tyler Lockett. I've read the writing on the wall, but I was looking at the wrong wall apparently, because it didn't work out that way. So, all right, John, this year. All right. Overall, would you say this is an up year, down year, middle of the road year for incoming rookies? I know that people are saying the running back class is a little poor, wide receiver class is high. I think the quarterback class is pretty exciting and electric. Tight end is, you know, obviously you got Bowers, you got Sanders. So overall, how would you grade what you expect this class to be like?
It's a B. It's not a home run hitting class. The quarterbacks are spectacular and super flex. Now, we know there's going to be one or two duds. We know that. That happens. It's about a 50% hit rate at the quarterback position. The running back position has a lot of depth. I think there are five really interesting running backs, but there's no Breece Hall. There's no Bijan Robinson. There's no Jonathan Taylor at the top. So the perception is it's not as good, but I think there are players here. Landing spot is going to matter. I think wide receivers are incredibly deep. I mean, I can't even believe I'm saying this. I think it's in conjunction with the class of 2014 and the Odell Beckham class, the Mike S class, Sammy Watkins, Brandon Cooks. That was an incredible draft, and that was the first time I did player rankings. 11 years ago, I think it'll exceed last year's draft, and we got so many great fantasy players out of it. I like the tight end class. It's not great. Let's see where the landing spot is. So I'm going to give this overall class a B-.
All right, let's start planting our flags, man. So who are some players in this year's draft class that you're like, he's my guy? He's one of my guy. You're adamant about your guys, and I want to hear who you're willing to go to bat for.
So I'm going to go to bat in super flex. And of course I like Caleb, so I'm not going to talk about him. Everyone knows Caleb by now. Right now, I think the wild card in the whole first round is JJ McCarthy of Michigan. You see a Michigan thing in front of me. I've been a Michigan fan for over 40 years, so I got to be upfront about that. And I was slow to the McCarthy bandwagon. One, I was confirmation bias. Do I like him because he's a Michigan quarterback, right? I had to really kind of say, okay, now let's look at him. So once we got to about winter vacation, I said, all right, now my fandom, now I got to put on my hat as a scout, fantasy scout, draft Nick. And when I plugged him into my model, volume stats are not there, folks. But what my model told me is efficiency numbers are off the hook. Dude, he is so goddamn efficient with the football. So then I said, what did I do wrong in the film? Because I liked him, but I had a second round grade. I thought he was good. You know, like, I mean, I understood why teams would draft him. But my first initial, you know, back in December 25th around the new year, it was a second round grade. I plugged in the numbers. I'm like, okay, I need to really look at more. And what I did was, as I was breaking down more film, man, dude, he throws some dimes and buckets. And I'm not trying to be hyperbolic here. You notice I have a Denver shirt on. He has John Elway traits. I'm telling you, he might be the best thrower of the football on the run that I've seen in years. He's un-freaking believable throwing on the run. His accuracy in full scramble mode with a defender bearing down on him, he's uncanny, dude. Un-freaking canny. His completion percentage in his career was 67.6%. I don't think people know how accurate he was. His touchdown interception ratio, 49 to 11. Holy crap-a-moly. I mean, that is some serious smart football.
Yeah.
His passing efficiency is 160.5. That is really high, folks. He's above Drake May. He's above Jaden Daniels. He's above Bo Nix. He's above Michael Penix. Only guy ahead of him is Caleb Williams. However, we've never seen him be asked to throw the football 35 times in a game and lead your team to victory like C.J. Stroud. We knew, if you watch C.J. Stroud at Ohio State, I had zero concern that he could throw the football 40 times a game for a bad team. And not only did I have zero concern, I had zero concern he could throw 45 times for a bad team and be good throwing the football. And he ended up even better than that. J.J. McCarthy should go within the top 10 picks. If the Vikings get him at 11, it's a steal. If the Bears stay at 9 and don't trade that pick with McCarthy on the board, they're a stupid organization. You have to trade down if McCarthy's there to Denver or Minnesota. You're stupid. There's no reason to keep number 9. You can't do it because you know the Vikings in your division want that pick.
Right.
J.J. McCarthy.
I love it. I love it.
You've got to trade to him or get Denver in the, right?
Yeah.
Get Denver in the mix. Call him up.
Yeah.
Hey.
If I'm New England, I'm considering, if I'm not going after Marvin Harrison, you know, and I know, you know, May, Williams, Daniels are the consensus top three, I'm even considering moving back a little bit. I'd love to see McCarthy in New England.
I had a hot take on Wake and Take the other day, player profiler. I was on. They asked me for the hot take.
Right. Go ahead.
And what I said is the Patriots are going to draft Marvin Harrison. They're going to get their quarterback later.
Yeah.
They need the wide receiver so bad.
Mm-hmm. That would put a complete dagger into my heart.
Yeah, as a Colts fan. Hey, John, I want to move on to running backs.
Yeah.
Before we move on to running backs,
yep.
When I watched J.J. McCarthy, I noticed the same thing with his ability on the run. But what that also showed me was Roman Wilson's ability to work the scramble drill. Roman Wilson has he has such a knack for breaking off of his route and making himself available to his quarterback when his quarterback's in trouble. It's incredible.
Oh, yeah.
And like that's why like you're seeing guys like, you know, say, you know, Xavier Worthy needs to go to Kansas City or so-and-so needs to go to Kansas City. Put a guy like Roman Wilson in Kansas City where Patrick Mahomes loves to extend plays and watch this guy just break off his route and end up 20 yards behind the defense wide open. Roman Wilson would be getting so much more credit if he played anywhere. And this could be the same with J.J. McCarthy. Like both of them would have so much more credit, but they were in the right place because guess what? They won a championship. So they didn't need to do anything other than what they did. It was okay.
No, McCarthy did everything. He was,
yeah.
What did he lose in 2 years? One game.
Yeah. Right.
And he got a ring.
Yeah. I mean, so come I'm on, with man. You. I'm with you. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid as well. So who's your running back, John?
All right. So I don't know if this used to be, I got two. So let me say two. This used to be a sleeper a month ago, but I think he's awoken or the community. I love Jalen Wright out of Tennessee. I get he might not have the best vision. I get that he played in a wide open offense at Tennessee, so the running lanes were completely astronomical. But let's look at some advanced stats, and I like the film. He ran a 4.38. That's pretty incredible. He's 210 pounds, 5'11". His BMI is 29.3. We know we're looking at 30. So he's right. I mean, he's 0.7. So I'm not going to ding him for that on the BMI. But two stats jump out that I love about Jalen Wright. His yards per contact on every attempt is the second best in the class. 4.35 yards per after contact. That's insanity, folks. He gets hit and he keeps going. And this stat was my favorite. He had 35 runs of 10 plus yards. But do you know we only had 137 carries? That efficiency is completely off the charts. That's incredible. He's also 20 years of age. Love Jalen Wright. He's my number two. My number two running back. Then I'm going to give this man. You know, when you watch film and you watch guys, they become your guys. You really like them and you get a root for them. Kamani Vidal. No. Kamani Vidal out of Troy, folks. If you haven't been paying attention to this kid, you're doing it wrong. He's 5'8". He's 213 pounds. I think he had the most exciting film of any runner in the entire class. Watch his film. You will fall in a rabbit hole of happiness. But it was against G5. So I wanted it to be like the defense. He might not have played an NFL linebacker. I mean, I'm just being dead honest, right? He's playing at the G5 level. You don't have a lot of NFL linebackers. But then he went to the combine, folks. 213 pounds with short legs. Oh. Then he ran a 4.15 in the 20-yard shuttle. A 7.01 in the three-cone drill. He's got acceleration, burst, and speed. Oh, shit. Yards per contact, 3.58. 47 runs over 10 yards. And you know what his BMI is? 32.4. There's nothing to not like in my model. The only concern is he's a G5 competitor, right? Lower level.
Right.
I'll say this. He's Devin Singletary with size. He's better than Devin Singletary.
What about Chase Edmonds if you like Devin coming Singletary, out? Who did you like more coming out? Nice
flex option. Kamani Vidal's better than Devin Singletary as a prospect. Go ahead, coach.
Chase Edmonds or Vidal coming out?
I'm sorry, what?
Who are you higher on coming out, Chase Edmonds or Vidal?
Oh, Vidal. It's not even close.
Okay. They once didn't have
I mean, play? Edmonds didn't have the strength that Vidal has. Like, okay. Coach, Vidal runs with anger, purpose, and passion. Like, he has...
Love it.
There is... Now, not stylistically, not his physicality, but he is physical. But he has Isaiah Pacheco skills and Devin Singletary skills in one.
Man, 5'8". That's sign what me, he is. Sign me up. Well, you had me when you mentioned a rabbit hole full of happiness. So I'm already...
I'm telling you, you got to watch it. It's
tomorrow, a great film, dude. Sign me up, Vidal. I'm going to mention a running back I'm high on, but I think a lot of people like him. I love Trey Benson. With Dallas missing out on all the running backs in this class, I'm sorry, in the free agent class, that's why I love him as an every down back. I really love Trey Benson. But I want to hear, who's a wide receiver you're planting your flag on this year?
All right. My top guy is Javon, not my number one. My guy. Number 7 in my rankings. Javon Baker, UCF. Holy crap, dudes. When I watched him on film, loved him. He is Zay Flowers and Chad Johnson. Remember Chad Johnson of the Bengals?
Yeah.
Javon Baker plays with passion and anger. If you're a defensive back, you're going to hate him. If you're his teammate, you love him. And then I plugged him in my model. I was blown away at the results in my model. 30% team aerial dominator. Holy crap. But here's what I love the most. In my model, he has 17.5 yards per reception. But his ADOT is 17.1. People, the ADOT is almost always lower than the yards per reception because you're going to get some short passes. Just to give you an example, Malik Nabers, yards per route run, 15.9, ADOT 12.2, Marvin Harrison, 16.9 yards per reception, ADOT 13.1. The fact that Baker has a 17 yard per reception and 17.1 ADOT, that's silly. They're throwing him the ball 17 yards down the field. You know what? He's catching it, dude.
Yeah.
That is silly numbers. As an example, we love what Xavier Worthy did. But here's a conundrum in Xavier Worthy's film and model study. His yards per reception is 14. I thought he was a home run hitter, but I'll give him. They run a lot of short screens, quick slant. So, okay. His ADOT is 10.3. That falls below my benchmark. And what we do is we see the splash plays of Xavier Worthy deep. You don't see all the times he doesn't run deep. So there's a little bit of a conundrum in my model. And how much I like this stat by Baker. Here's what's interesting. You guys know Malachi Corley, right?
Hell yeah.
People love Malachi Corley.
Yep.
His yards per reception, 11.7. Well, I know what his ADOT is.
What is it?
5.5. I'm going to be kind. That's pathetic. Guess who's the only guy? My benchmark is 12. He has 5.5.
Right.
Guess who's the only guy with an 8 dot that low that I don't own in one dynasty league that people were telling you to draft everywhere? Rondell Moore. Doesn't translate.
Man, I love manufactured Moore.
What?
I liked Rondell Moore a lot.
I don't have one chair. Never drafted him. The ADOT was pathetic. Malachi Moore is in the Rondell Moore bucket. Now, Corley has bigger size, and I do think he's a little tougher of a receiver. Rondell Moore was undersized too, which people didn't tell you.
He was pretty damn tough too. There were videos of him like squatting 600 pounds. Like, he was a tank.
But it did translate to the NFL.
Yeah, I think he got a little banged up.
So I'll tell you, so that just shows you how incredible Javon Baker's numbers are.
Right, right.
The numbers are unbelievable. So then I said, where did he come from? Like, he wasn't on a Debbie list last year. He wasn't in a top 40. Like, no, he was a four-star prospect at Alabama.
Yeah.
They loved him, but he sat behind Devonta Smith, a Heisman winner, Jameson Williams, first-round draft pick, John Mechie, second-round draft pick. He couldn't get on the field at Alabama. So where did he go? He made it a business decision, went to UCF. Love him. Love Javon Baker. He's my guy.
Excellent. Hey, you got a tight end for us?
I do. And this was, I'm going to call it the Sam Laporta corollary.
I love it.
Ben Sinnott, Kansas. If you don't know Ben Sinnott, you're not paying attention. First off, he has the highest ADOT of any tight end, 10.1. Ben Sinnott ran deep routes, and Kansas threw to him deep down the field. He averaged 13.9 yards per reception. That is silly. Let me give you an example. Brock Bowers, ADOT, 6.5. Ben Sinnott smashes him on that. Team aerial dominator, Ben Sinnott, 22%. Brock Bowers, 21%. Fascinating. Ben Sinnott, 250, 6'6". Brock Bowers, 240, 6'4". And these athletic numbers are off the charts. There's Sam Laporta. 4.68 in the 40, 4.23 in the 20-yard shuttle, 6.82 in the three-cone drill at 6'6", 250. Does anyone understand to have that type of quickness and turn your body at 6'6", 250? Do a three-cone drill at 6'8", 2? Are you kidding me? He had 82 career receptions and 1,138 yards. And guys, if you're not a college football fan, can you name anyone else on Kansas?
No. Don't they have a running back?
They do. Devin Neal's a good running back.
Yeah.
But you have to love football to know him.
Right.
He's had probably four quarterbacks in the last 3 years throw footballs to him. Ben Sinnott might be the second tight end off the board. I have him ranked as number two. He's too athletic and too talented. That's just it's just as simple as that.
Man,
I think he goes in the second round, late first round.
I love it, man. So there are a lot of gems in here, man. I loved catching up on last year's class, knowing where you're planting your flag, Stroud, A-Chain, Rice, Jaden Reed. This year, we're talking J.J. McCarthy, Jalen Wright, Kamani Vidal, Javon Baker, Ben Sinnott. I got my homework cut out for me. I'm going to mention, I do like Ladd McConkey a lot. That's an easy one because he's expected to go, you know, in the first or second. My comp for him is Josh Downs. I just think he's so quarterback friendly and so explosive. And I know he played a lot on the outside, but I think he can translate to the inside. He just knows how to create large windows for his quarterback to get him to football, man. But it's what we got, like 40 something days until the NFL draft. We're in high time NFL free agency. We're going to be touching on that all the time. So check into Toilet to Titles on the YouTube. We're going to have shorts. We're going to have videos, all that good stuff. We have nonstop content coming out. John, man, it has been a pleasure getting to talk to you again. Why don't you let everybody know again where they can find you, where your podcasts are, what the name of your podcast, and any current or recent content you're putting out?
Well, first, gentlemen, thanks for having me on. I think this is at least the sixth year being with you guys. I love Toilets to Titles, so thank you for having me on again. You can find me on Twitter at GridironSkull91. I couldn't afford the A and the R when I signed up, so it's GridironSkull91. all of my written profiles, as Coach had elaborated earlier, my first year working with the team at Player Profiler, they're all free. You can see I have my prospect resume. I have the key statistics. There's a link to my model. So you can see I have 31 running backs ranked, 33 wide receivers in my model and all their statistics. You can check out my quarterbacks. All of that is on Player Profiler. Go check that out. And I mentioned it before, I'm with my teammate Matt Hicks. And you can go to YouTube and you check out our player profiles on individual prospects. And it's called the Rookie Big Board on YouTube. We have, we've done 5 weeks, 4 weeks. So there's 20 profiles of prospects. And we got 4 more weeks with 4 more players each week. So that'll put us at 36 players we profile individually on the YouTube station on Rookie Big Board.
Man, I'll tell you, I listen to... I don't really listen to fantasy football shows. I play a lot of fantasy football, but I don't listen to fantasy football shows. I listen to draft content. Honestly, I listen to draft content and I listen to travel content because I need to escape. And of the draft content I listen to, I hear a lot of gems, a lot of good things, but no one prepared me for the Senior Bowl like you did. Your Senior Bowl preview, man, I didn't go this year. I went the year prior. I'm honest. I was on the plane to Mobile. Listening to you, so I appreciate your work. I'm not just like I actually am somebody who dives into your work, man. So I absolutely appreciate that. Everybody, if you're listening to this show, it's a good chance you love the NFL draft. Email us toiletsthetitles@gmail.com and join our gilded chat. We're talking NFL draft 24/7. We're running mock drafts right now. Every week we're running a 2-round mock draft. We got a person in the chat picking for each team in the NFL. Next week, we'll probably expand it to 3 rounds. We have a top 100 big board. Go to toiletsthetitles.com. Look at the NFL draft tab. We've probably written up somewhere between 60 to 70 of those players in the top 100, and I expect to get all the way to 100 by the time the NFL draft gets around here. But we got tons of content in there. And what I enjoy doing the most is interacting with everyone in the community, dropping, you know, some things and hearing what other people's thoughts are on it, you know, bouncing things off each other. So it's all good. So Justin, I'm going to pass you this thing over to you before we wrap this thing up and head home.
Yeah. I just want to remind the Carolina Panthers that if you need John's information down there, because he did try to tell you about your quarterback situation, you didn't listen to him. So maybe you want to get him on staff. It might be easier to contact him that way. So that's at @GridironSkull91. John, thank you again so much. Can't wait to see you again in August, buddy.
Yeah, man.
Thank you, gentlemen.
All right, we'll catch everybody later on. Thanks for tuning in. Take care.